1 Corinthians chapter 12, and our text for this morning will be verses 7 through 11. We're going to go back a little ways. You know, last time we looked at 27 through 31, and so we're going to go backwards and look at some of the gifts that were not mentioned in the latter half of the chapter. So if you're able to stand, would you do so and let me read these verses in your hearing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, beginning at verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. Verse 10. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Amen. Our Father, we need you. We need your help. We need you to meet with us in the Word of God. The Word is open before our eyes. Our hearts are open before your eyes, and we need you to work in our hearts, to apply the truth so that we might be all the better for having assembled today. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Every saint said, amen. Amen. All right. Now, you remember what we've covered thus far. We've seen that the church at Corinth was fully functional with all of the necessary gifts. See, verse chapter 1 and verse 7, Paul says, so that you are not lacking in any spiritual gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus. So, just as we talked about this go-kart, okay, it had all of the parts were there. This church at Corinth, with all the problems, they had lots of problems. Mm-hmm. Lots of problems. And there is no church that doesn't have problems.
Amen.
That's not the issue. And by the way, you know that even if you drive a vehicle off the lot, that doesn't mean that it's problem free. Don't we know that?
Amen. Amen.
That's not the issue. The issue is to find the problems and correct them.
Amen.
Right? And so this church was fully functional with all of the problems that they had. And we also saw that it's each local congregation then is a functional church. You remember at the in this chapter 12 verse 27, he says, "You are the body of Christ," mm-hmm. right?
Yes, sir.
Speaking to the church at Corinth, he didn't say you were a piece are a part, even though each local church is a part of the universal church, yet the same is true. Each local church is still a fully functional church. Uh-huh. Just like every one of those go-karts was a go-kart. Uh-huh. Even though it may be on a lot with lots of go-karts, it's each one mm-hmm. is a functional entity. Mm-hmm. And so each local congregation is a functional church. So we don't refer to ourselves as a piece or a part of a church. Okay? And it has nothing to do with a building. You know that. Mm-hmm. The church is not the building.
Amen.
The church is the people.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Amen.
Then we also saw that it's God who selected and placed members in the body.
Sir.
Now this is tremendous. And I say the same thing to you this week as I said last week. No member should think that you're here by luck and chance and accident.
Yeah.
You can't have luck in God's sovereignty.
Yes.
You can't have luck and God being in full control.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So it's God who is at work in our minds and our hearts, enabling us to make decisions according to His will. It may take some of us longer than others, but God will get His children where He wants them
Amen.
To be.
Amen.
So, but these truths right here, verse 18 of chapter 12, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them. Verse 24, God has so composed the body. Verse 28, God has appointed in the church. So God is the one that selected and placed members in the body. We also saw that some spiritual gifts have greater value in edifying, or higher, as the ESV, higher value in edifying the church. Okay, that doesn't minimize the value of the gift. It just says that for example, in a go kart or a vehicle, the washers and screws may not have much value to accelerating. That doesn't mean if you don't have that bolt on that wheel, you're not going very far if it's not on there right. But when it comes to acceleration, the carburetor and that combustion and all those kind of things are higher in value in moving that thing forward, right? And so the God says to us that we have to remember that when we gather, there are certain gifts that are more valuable and edifying. That doesn't mean that the other gifts aren't valuable. It's just that don't get things, what do I call it?
Twisted.
Don't get it. And that's what's happening in churches. Oh, that's what was happening in Corinth. They had it twisted. They assumed the tongues was what was going to edify.
Mm-hmm.
And it's happening right now today.
Amen.
And it's sad that Christians can come out of churches babbling in tongues and live the most vulgar lives and think that they have been met with God and have God. Let's twist it.
Yeah.
It's twisted. Mm-hmm. God says, don't get it twisted. Mm-hmm. You keep those greater gifts. You need to hear truth.
Yeah.
It needs to be solid in you, whether you ever speak in tongues or not.
Yeah.
That's what will build you up, you see.
Hmm.
So that's the deal. We some gifts have, we see that at the end of verse 31, but earnestly desire the higher gifts, right? Then in 14, in verse 12, he says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. You see? That's the issue. Make it your desire to see the church built up, not your gift displayed.
Well,
the church built up.
Well,
the church is built up. That's all that matters. That's what should matter.
Amen.
Right? What should matter is that the church grows. And whether God grows or not, growing in number is not our issue. That's God. God adds.
Yeah.
We're going to be built up qualitatively.
Yeah.
Amen.
See?
Amen.
Qualitatively.
Amen.
Get our roots deep
so
we can handle the storms.
Amen.
And then we saw last week that no spiritual gift is to dominate the church. That's the whole idea, you know. Do all apostles, all prophets, all teachers, you know, do all speak in tongues? And the rhetorical question, the obvious answer is what?
No.
And so there's no dominant gift in the church. Right?
Amen.
The church isn't built on one person. Yeah, well, in one, you know what I'm saying? It's built on Christ, but no one church member.
You got it.
Right. No one church member.
Yes, sir.
So there's no dominant gift. So God keeps us from being arrogant and thinking, what is that? Don't get beside yourself. Think more highly of yourself than you ought to think.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Right.
Amen.
And He does a good job of keeping us humble.
Amen.
Amen.
When you get beside yourself, He knows how to bring you back to reality.
Oh, yeah.
Now, some of you may have seen this before, but I wanted to take a little time because I don't know where everybody is. There are five lists of spiritual gifts in the Bible, okay, in the New Testament. Five lists. And If you've never seen them before, 1 Corinthians 12, 8 through 11, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 28, Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11, and 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 11. All right? I just wanted you to kind of visually see these lists, okay? God gives us these gifts for our contemplation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to be careful with my words, because here's what you learn as you look at these lists. All of the lists are different. Okay? And no list is exhaustive.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So you saw those five lists, and you saw, I know you didn't have time, but go back and look at it yourself. None of them are identical. And so God isn't trying, he isn't attempting to lay out every spiritual gift. He's giving us ideas.
Yeah.
Or these are for your contemplation, okay? The other thing that I want to, I kind of struggle with this wording, but the other thing I want you to be mindful of is that the list contain both spectacular, and that may not be the best word, but things like healing and miracles and tongues. These are gifts that oftentimes bring you to awe, and they should.
Yeah.
Mighty works of God ought to bring you to awe.
Yeah.
But they're also what you might call more common or more ordinary gifts. They're equally gifts from God.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the irony of it is that the more ordinary gifts are the ones oftentimes the most beneficial for edifying.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
And things like service and the gift of service, the gift of teaching, the gift of giving. We need all of God, all of the Spirit's work among us. But again, we got to stay balanced.
Yeah.
We got to stay balanced. You can't make a church about one gift, or we're of this kind of church and we're of that kind of church.
Mm-hmm.
We're the church that Christ has put together,
mm-hmm.
and we are learning how He wants us to function. That's
yeah.
the reason we're spending all this time
Amen.
Together. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But we also recognize that whoever He brings. It's him who is designed
Amen.
That person.
Amen. Come on, brother. Come
it's
on.
Him who's he brought the person that the church needed.
Uh-huh.
Okay?
Amen.
And we don't try to make a person a clone of somebody else.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes,
because we're not building the church.
Come on, brother.
He is.
Yes.
He selects.
Yes.
He places.
Amen.
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 And he knows what he's doing.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, and so today, as we spend a little time in our text, I kind of unpacked the verses this way. In verse 7, I gave it a broad title of thinking about the manifestation of the Spirit. And then in verses 8 through 11, I call that thinking about the manifestation as spiritual gifts, okay? As spiritual gifts. And so, when we look at verse 7, let's look at verse 7 again. Verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So, each individual believer is equipped to be effective in the body.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
The Bible is emphatic about
mm-hmm.
this. There is no exception.
Mm-hmm.
If you are saved, God equipped you to do something the body needs.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
You are hurting God's church
yeah.
when you sit back
Amen.
And do nothing.
Amen.
Well.
Say it.
Amen.
God doesn't save trophy Christians.
Well.
I mean, why would you, I showed you the go-kart, right? Why would you make a part that you don't need?
Amen.
I mean, think about it. Mm-hmm. Why waste the money, the time, you know, the effort to make a part that doesn't work, that you don't need on that car? It doesn't fit. If we got that much common sense for practical things, mm-hmm. come on. Mm-hmm. God's dealing with eternal matters and mm-hmm. souls.
Yeah,
why would he save, some, bring them out of dark deadness and sin, bring them to life and say,
all that.
Just sit. Just observe.
Amen. Uh-huh. Well, yeah.
Church is, we've got to, that's the reason we're thinking. Mm-hmm. Okay? We've got to start thinking differently. Mm-hmm. The church, particularly in America, has got to change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And whether America changes or not, we got to change.
Amen. Amen.
And so every individual believer has been saved because you need it.
Amen.
Because you need it.
Thank you, Lord.
And the word manifestation means to reveal, right? Or to make known.
Amen.
So what is God doing? He saves a Christian. He saves a sinner, makes you a believer. And then he says, I'm going to reveal something about myself through you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
This is tremendous.
Yes, sir.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you something special. Mm-hmm. That when people see you functioning, they're going to say, that's the way God is.
Amen.
That's the way God loves.
Uh-huh.
That's the way God provides. That's the way God shows mercy.
Yeah.
That's the way God teaches people. Yeah. God is patient. You see, how does this Christian have the grace to put up with somebody that won't pay attention, that ignores him? You see, we were the same way.
Yeah.
God pursued us when we weren't paying attention.
Uh-huh.
I ignored him for 28 years, but he didn't stop.
Yeah.
And so he says, I'm going to save you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to demonstrate that grace. You may have to pursue somebody. And they will eventually humble themselves, not to you, but to the grace of God.
Yes.
And the church needs that. See, the church needs that one lost person over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use you to bring that.
Amen.
So he's revealing something about himself to everybody, every individual Christian.
Mm.
There are no accidents.
Mm.
None. There's nobody was accidentally saved.
Thank you.
I'm telling you, we gotta start thinking differently.
Amen.
God saved me because I have purpose.
Amen.
And if I'm not, see, that's the reason there's so many unhappy Christians. You're not doing what you were saved to do.
Amen.
You're doing what somebody else told you to do.
Well.
Yeah, you're buckling under pressure. This is not going to be a good thing, minister, for me to get involved in. Where did that foolishness come from? Find out what God wants you to do.
Yeah.
Do it with all your heart.
Amen.
You will be fulfilled.
Amen.
People won't have to go, hey, you come to church today?
Amen.
Do that.
Amen.
Foolishness when a person is fulfilled.
Yeah.
When they're white. This is what I was born again to do.
Yes, sir.
Say it, bro.
Yes, sir.
When you know, you don't need somebody to tell you.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
right.
When there's somebody to tell you, hey, would you like to do this? Would you like to do this? You see, and that's my
brother.
Husband.
Come on, brother.
If you see something, what is ministry? It's a need and meeting a need. If you see it, go
do it.
Do it.
Yes.
Do it.
And watch God reveal something about himself through.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, that's joy.
Yes, sir.
Yes.
That's joy. That's joy.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, that's it.
And then the thing that you remember is that, you know, like this verse said, it's for the common good. Whatever God is revealing through you is for everybody.
Yes.
It's not for you. So they didn't thank you.
What? So what?
Yeah.
They didn't recognize you. They didn't bring you up before the church. That's the irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know who saw it?
God saw it.
Come on, bro.
Yes, day's coming.
Yeah.
When he'll say, well done.
Well
yeah.
done.
Yeah.
Well done. Well done.
It doesn't matter what they said in the church.
Well,
yeah. God says, you did good.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, which would you prefer to have? God saying, well done, or the church giving you some plaque or something like that? So, it's for the good of the church. And if you are serving the good of the church, whether they give you praise or not, as a matter of fact, if you follow Christ, you're not simply not going to get praise. You're going to get some really difficult, unexpected response at times from the church.
Yes.
But if you're doing God's will,
yeah.
that won't deter you. See, your joy is serving Him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Joy is serving.
Yes,
you understand this?
Yes.
So let him reveal himself through you. And leave the result to him.
Amen.
You good with that?
Thank you, Lord.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
And so then you look at the verses 8 through 11. And God's going to reveal things through you. But then he says, I do it through what the Bible would call the spiritual gifts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so that's what we're going to think about now, is the way this manifestation is seen through spiritual gifts. No, you know, it doesn't mean that somebody's going to walk up to you and say, oh, honey, you got the gift of giving. That's not, that's not the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to know that you do that because that's the way I made you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need you to go around and memorize all the gifts. That's not the deal.
Amen.
Just know that you do what you do because that's what I put in you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Okay. So then we're just going to look at a sample, would you?
Amen.
A sample of a few gifts.
Amen.
So don't get hung up on this now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the Bible says very little. You remember I told you that before.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't need to get the scratch in your head about how much more you need to know. If the Bible didn't give you more, just be content with that. Go on, right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on. So the first one he mentions is what the ESV calls, by the way, let me say this. These are special abilities given by the Holy Spirit to whoever he wants, whoever he wants. That's what you see at the end of verse 11. Who apportions, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills.
Amen.
Okay? And so what we're about to talk about is we're going to get some examples of the empowerment that God gives to believers. Okay? So the first one he mentions is what's called the utterance of wisdom. Or yours might say the word of wisdom. It's logos, it's the word logos, and then Sophia, wisdom. And so these two put together, the emphasis is on the logos, or the message.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so the utterance of wisdom is, let me read you my definition. This is a special message inspired by the Holy Spirit, and the content of the message is filled with God's wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
You see? The message is the fundamental, that's the medium,
mm-hmm.
but the content is what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is a spoken gift.
Mm-hmm.
But God puts in your words,
mm-hmm.
in the message you give, He pours His wisdom in.
Yeah.
Do you get it?
Yeah.
And so He gives you insight in how to apply truth and knowledge.
Amen.
In other words, what you had to say helped somebody know how to live it.
Uh-huh.
Amen.
They were struggling with it.
Yeah.
And you says, this is the way you do that thing.
Hmm.
Hmm. But you got to be willing to say it, even when they may not like what you have to say.
Mm, 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 mm.
Right?
And if you think you're going to be happy holding back on it just so you can keep a friend, you're going to miss it.
Amen.
A part of the reason that this lack of joy is we looked at Psalm 32 one of these. Remember a few evenings ago? You can't harbor sin and think that you're gonna be happy.
Amen.
And see, if you don't obey what the Spirit's prompting you to do,
amen,
that's sin, right? Amen. To him who knows the right thing to do and does not do it, that's not a mistake, right?
Amen.
And so God says that this is one of the gifts that he gives. Second one he mentions there is called the utterance of knowledge. And I think you begin to see the pattern. This is a special message inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the content of the message is filled with God's knowledge. So this is basically God gives you special insight to understand truth. Okay? See, many people can read the Bible. They know what it says.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not enough just to know what the Bible says. You need to know what it means, right?
Yeah.
You need to know what it means.
Yes.
And so, God gives gifts to believers to help them read the Bible and have insight into this is what this really means.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, this is what I need to do, or this is what you need to do. But so, you see how these two fit together? Mm-hmm. Now you've told me what I need to do, the next thing I need to know is what? How to do it.
Yes.
You see how it works? One gift tells you what to do.
Mm-hmm.
The other one helps you see how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Mm-hmm. I mean, even to our little minds, it makes sense. And you can see where somebody holding back, you might have somebody giving out plenty of truth hard, good teaching, laying it down line upon line. But you got people who are so smart, yet they don't know how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And the same letter says that knowledge does what to people? Makes you arrogant. Pumps you up. If you don't have, you don't know how to put it to use. Okay? You need wisdom. Y'all got it?
Amen.
Okay. Then he mentions the gift of faith. You see that in faith is in verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit. See that? And I define this simply as a supernatural conviction from the Holy Spirit that God will reveal his great power in a specific situation and in a specific way. And so this is not a play thing. God has certain individuals that he convinces them without any doubt that he's about to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And you hurt the body if you won't live that out.
Mm-hmm.
You see? The body needs to hear what God has said.
Mm-hmm.
Now remember, I said, these particular gifts, some of them are spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't be afraid of your reputation.
Mm-hmm.
Because you gave your reputation up when you decided to follow Christ.
Amen.
If he says to you, without any doubt, this is what I'm about to do, then you have to live on that.
Amen.
We walk by what?
Faith.
Not by sight.
Mm.
And certain individuals with this gift, God calls you to walk even aggressively further than others.
Mm-hmm.
That's not comfortable.
Right,
but he didn't call you to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
He called you to function because the body of Christ needs that.
Yes.
They need somebody willing to get out front here
yes.
and say, "I believe this is what God wants us to do."
Yeah, yeah.
I know we don't have the money. I know we don't have, but God has convinced me that this is the deal.
Yeah.
Mm. Mm. Now, either this is true or I'm lying, and the Bible's lying, and the Spirit of God's lying. You see? So you got to decide. If
mm-hmm.
God is true, then he actually does give people this gift.
Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Mm.
And the body needs it.
Yes.
Amen.
And if you got it, we need you to exercise it.
Amen.
Gifts of healing. Now, I'm fully aware that there's great teachers that we respect who don't believe this. There's some teachers who all of us know and respect who believe that all these gifts have expired, that they're no longer functional in the church. But the Bible nowhere says that these gifts have stopped.
Amen.
Now, we're going to bring balance to that, because the Holy Spirit gives them as He wills and He exercises them as He will. You can't do this as you will.
Mm-hmm.
That's the reason you don't need to go to a healing rabbit.
Well.
Because if a man organizes it, he has no way of knowing whether God's going to be there and show up with power to heal.
Amen.
Amen.
You go to a whole week of these healing rallies. How in the world does he know, or she know, whoever it is, that God is going to be there to heal?
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't work out, you see, that's when you have to have all this phony. That's the reason people are beginning to see all the fake stuff going on. Because if it ain't real, you got to fake it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if you follow after the Spirit, you don't have to worry about faking. This is what I call the unplanned supernatural ability given to a believer who is used by God to aid in the supernatural healing of another person. And I believe it's just as vibrant and active a gift today as it's ever been. It's just that you and I don't determine when it's exercised.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Saw it in Acts 14, I believe it was a crippled man was there, and Paul healed him, I believe, by a word. On that island, they were on the way to Rome, they shipwrecked on an island, and there was the father of one of the leaders there on the island was sick. Paul healed him by laying his hands on him, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But also would say to you, the reason I know that it's according to God's will, in 2 Timothy 4, Paul said he had to leave, I forget the brother's name, but he had to leave Trophimus or whoever the guy's name, he had to leave him behind sick or ill, right? So you can't do it when you want to.
Mm-hmm.
The great apostle had to leave people ill.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote to Timothy. He didn't say, Timothy, claim your healing. He said, you got stomach problems? Well, you need to take a little medicine.
Mm-hmm.
You need to drink a little wine.
Mm-hmm.
See, this is not foolishness.
Mm.
This is not foolishness. Mm. This is, you exercise as God wills.
Yeah.
And as God sees the need, not as you see the need.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, we do know that some people are sick and they're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, amen. Yes, sir.
Everybody's going to die.
Amen.
Yeah. But some people are going to die from the sickness that they had.
Yeah.
Right? So we can't run around claiming healing for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You hurt people. Hurt people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
People are hurt.
Yeah.
The name of Christ is damaged
with
that kind of foolishness.
That's true. Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I'm not talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about a genuine gift of healing that for God will use. Working of miracles, this is two words. The first word there comes from the word we get energy in the Gaia. Y'all heard dunamis, right? That's power.
Yeah.
So that's the last word, miracles. And so it's the word, first word means activities. And so I define this as being, this is the unplanned supernatural. Oh, by the way, let me say this about the healings. Healings, is, you notice, is plural, gifts of healings. And so I believe that what God is saying there is that He uses a variety of believers for a variety of sicknesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it could very well be that God would just use you one time.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be satisfied with that.
Mm-hmm.
You can't run around bragging on the fact that you got the gift of healing. God wanted somebody healed because He wanted them to see something about Himself. At that moment.
That's right.
It may never happen again.
Mm.
That's up to God.
Yeah.
That's up to God. You got it?
Amen.
And so it's plural. It's different, it's a variety of needs, a variety of people used for a variety of diseases. The working of miracles I define as being the unplanned supernatural ability given to a believer for unplanned demonstrations of God's great power in various ways and for various reasons. And basically you have to leave it at that. I mean, sometimes God wants you to use you to work a miracle for somebody that's in need. They may have, I don't know. We don't know what their needs may be. You know, they may need a car. They may need money. You know, somebody may need protection. He may use you to be instrumental in them being protected. I believe that this also is relevant when it comes to healing. You do know that healing is God's great power being released in that situation. When Jesus was among walking through the crowds, and you remember before the woman came and touched him, and he recognized that there was power in him to heal. Okay, and so this is God's great power being revealed in various ways for various reasons. Prophecy is an unplanned message inspired by the Holy Spirit to edify and encourage the congregation. Now, this is very important. See the last sentence I got here? Believers with this gift are not infallible. The prophecy may, in fact, contain error. Okay? And that's the reason you have, let me show you this. Look at these verses. See, in 1 Corinthians 14:3, it says, on the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to people for their upbuilding and encouragement and consolation. So prophecy is one of the greater. This is one of the gifts that edifies. You see, it builds up. But the Bible also cautions you. It always cautions you to be discerning, right? You're to be discerning when I'm up here speaking. That's the reason I want you to refer you to your Bible. You're to check it out for yourself, okay? So you see verse 29. Let two or three prophets speak, and let the others weigh what is said. If the revelation is made to another sitting there, let the first be silent, for you can all prophesy one by one so that all may learn and be encouraged. The spirit of a prophet, of the prophets are subject to the prophets. Why does he say weigh it? Again, because you need to determine if it's relevant. And when he say you, he's talking about all of you. Just as you're sitting and listening to me, you need to weigh it. Is what he's saying true? Weigh it against what? The word of God. Weigh it. I tell you again and again, I'm not here to spoon feed you.
Amen. Come on,
bro. I'm here to get you to think. You got a renewed mind. You got to think like a Christian. You got a renewed mind. Okay, so weigh it. The next gift mentioned there is the distinguishing between spirits. I define this as being a supernatural ability to determine what is and what is not of the Holy Spirit. You remember 1 John 4:1, right? Tells us to, brothers, don't believe every spirit, right? Test them. Test the spirits. Find the same kind of thing in 1 Corinthians 14:49. There are various kinds of tongues. I define this as the unlearned, unplanned, and unrehearsed supernatural ability from the Holy Spirit to speak an unknown language. Okay? And, I'm not trying to be crass, but a lot of this gobbledygook that you're hearing is learned. Most of the stuff you hear in churches today is emulation of somebody else in the church. The gift of tongues is unlearned. It's unrehearsed. So I don't know how somebody can say, we're going to sit you down and teach you to speak in tongues. It's a gift from God.
Amen.
It's not taught by man.
Amen.
It's an unknown language. Yeah. I didn't study it. I can go to school to learn a language. That's not speaking in tongues. The gift is unlearned, right? And that's the reason the people there who heard the first ones in the book of Acts.
Oh, yeah.
Who are these men? They're not from our culture. Mm-hmm. But we what? We hear them mm-hmm. speaking what? In our own language.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we know that they're not from our culture. We know that ethnically they're different.
Mm-hmm.
And they haven't studied. But the Spirit of God, you remember that? The Spirit of God fell on them.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And these languages came forth.
Mm.
You get it?
Yeah.
And so don't get that twisted with all the stuff that's going on today. But at the same time, I'm telling you, I believe just as emphatically that it's genuine. That
mm-hmm.
whenever you got legitimate activity from God,
mm-hmm.
you got what?
Counterfeit.
Amen.
You see, the same thing you see with Moses, there with Pharaoh and the magicians.
Yeah.
You got all kind of counterfeit going on today. But just because there's counterfeit doesn't disqualify that which is legitimate.
Yes, sir.
Okay? And so I hope that none of you have been so turned off by the counterfeit that you have dismissed that which is legitimate and of God. Be quite candid with you, I've not been exposed to an environment where I've seen the legitimate gift used.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that I won't,
mm-hmm.
but I'm just saying I have.
Mm-hmm.
I don't believe, I mean, if it had been necessary, I believe God would have done it.
Mm-hmm.
But Paul said, I'd rather speak, you know, clearly in a language that people can understand than thousands of words in a tongue that nobody understands.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And that's what I believe about this issue. Finally, interpretation of tongues. This is the unlearned supernatural ability from the Holy Spirit to interpret an unknown language spoken in the gathered congregation. You see that in 1 Corinthians 14:27. Now, I don't want to say a whole lot more about those. I told you at the beginning, the idea was for you to see that the Bible gives us some exposure, right, to gifts. For us to simply know that He is active in every local church that belongs to Him. Every local church has the gifts necessary.
Yeah.
If we needed the gift of tongues, God would give it to us.
Mm-hmm.
You got it?
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is an individual would have that special ability.
Mm-hmm.
If we need the gift of healing, that would be an individual with that gift. It may only be necessary one time.
Mm-hmm.
Why would anybody be discouraged because you got used one time by God?
Mm.
If anything, you should what? Rejoice!
Yes.
Thank God that He found some usefulness for me.
Amen.
Now, that doesn't mean that that's the only gift you have, but you know that.
Mm.
Just because you have that one. I'm not saying that you only have one yet.
Mm.
So, with that said, I want you to think about this now. So I really want you to think carefully with me. I know this is a difficult subject for many Christians, but I don't believe it has to be that way. Most of these gifts that I've just talked about are what I call spectacular, okay? And not as commonly needed as some of the others that we may look at in a few weeks, okay? But now I want you to notice what Paul did. After Paul listed these spectacular gifts, what did he do? He immediately went to talking about unity.
Right.
You see, you don't need to keep focusing on that. I know I got them up there right now, but you don't need to keep focusing on the gifts. The gifts, that's not to dominate our thinking. Wonder what gifts he's got. Wonder what gifts she's got. That's not to dominate our thinking. The issue, Paul said, is just know that God, if He saved you, He gifted you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Now He says, I want you to work as one.
Mm-hmm.
And stop trying to make this person like that one.
Yeah.
Amen.
Let them be free.
Amen.
To function.
Amen.
And don't suppress them, but also be willing to correct. You do realize that that even when you're exercising your gift, there may need to be some correction.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
We may have offended somebody, or all kinds of things. All of us still got sin. Even that was the whole point with Corinth, right? All of the sin they had going on, Paul said, I need to correct some things. All of the gifts are at work in Corinth, but y'all got problems. So that's the deal for us. The gifts are here, but we've got to be willing to correct each other, to love each other, to function. He moves right into talking about unity after discussing these gifts. You got it?
Amen.
And he does not give any more details about the gifts, about these. So I'm asking you in your own mind, don't dwell on that now. I want you to keep going with me, okay? As we conclude. What I want you to do is to see the great love that Jesus has for his church. He loves his church so much that he says, I'm going to give you all these special abilities as you need them to make sure that you function well. See the great love that Jesus has for his church. Each congregation is fully functional. Every believer is fully equipped to serve. Every one of you sitting here right now, if you're a Christian, you have been fully equipped to serve the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Every ministry is fully capable of succeeding.
Yes.
There is no reason for anybody at Trinity Community Church to think that a ministry you're involved in won't succeed. Mm-hmm. Now, you can't define success.
Well, amen. Amen. Come on.
We don't define success. But God has equipped us to fully succeed in the things he calls us to do. Every need can be met. Every trial and test can be overcome. Every believer is essential to the function of the church. And every believer can make and must make his or her contribution. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God loves his church. And he loves every member in his church. I believe that God loves Trinity Community Church. And I believe that he loves every member here. You have got to be convinced in your own heart that God loves his church and he loves you. And what he's called you to do is out of his love. We love God. Why? Because he first loved us. He's worthy of our love. He is worthy of our service. He's worthy of our sacrifice. He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our adoration. If you are a Christian, I've been talking to you. Tell you something else. If you are a Christian, I've been talking about you. To your face. Do you believe that this is true?
Amen.
Do you believe that the Lord has given these gracious gifts to his church?
Amen.
Do you believe that he's given these gracious gifts to Trinity?
Amen.
Do you believe that you possess one or more of these spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit?
Amen.
To make you effective in what ministry he wants you to do. You need to think about this. Will you yield yourself and your will to do God's will for your life? We are revealing something about Jesus in the way we live and serve. So my question to you, Christian, is when people look at you, what are you saying about Jesus? When they look at you, what does your life reveal about it? It's revealing something. The question is, what is it? If you are not a Christian, the only gift that should be of major concern to you right now is the greatest gift God ever gave to man. That's Jesus Christ himself. If you're not a Christian, he is the greatest gift ever given to save you from eternal punishment, the
and condemnation for your sin. So today, I want to encourage you that if you're not a Christian, this is the day that you ought to believe. This is the day that you ought to trust Christ. This is the day that you ought to surrender to Him. Don't procrastinate. Don't think that there may be another time. There may be a better time. Come to Jesus today. His grace is available to save you right now. To be saved right now. You understand, my friend? To be saved right now. Our Father, thank you for every act of grace and mercy and the tenderness with which you deal with us. Thank you, Father, for the truth about your church. And Lord Jesus, you've proven your love for us. You lived for us, you died for us, and you rose to guarantee that success will be accomplished in you. And now, Lord, I pray that you would take my words and that which was of no benefit, I pray that it would not be retained in memory. But Lord, that which was of you and that which will edify and build up, I pray that your people would hear from you even through this weak instrument and be built up together. Save to your own glory. Help us to submit to you for your own glory. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. All right.